This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And Ryan, you know, there are two different types of people in this world. One type who likes to divide people into two categories and one who doesn't. But besides that, there are those people who'd like to take the slow road to DTM.
The lazy bums?
No, just the people who like to, you know, kick back, take it easy.
Right.
Make it a long-term goal and get their DTM. And then there are those people who'd like to just do it and get it over with as quickly as possible. And you refer to those people as what?
The tortoise and the hare.
I think that's a pretty good analogy. The tortoise and the hare. And we actually got an email from Vicky who said, "Hi all, I'm wondering if you guys have done a podcast on Bo's amazing run. How did he do 40 speeches in 6 months? What did he learn? Would he do it again? What are the advantages and disadvantages? Surprises? How many different clubs did he give speeches for? What was the longest distance he traveled? How many of those speeches were duplicates? How many of those speeches has he given since then?" A lot of questions.
Yeah, lots of questions.
That we will answer. This is going to be a unique podcast because we don't have a guest for this podcast. It's going to be both Ryan and myself. I did manage a little history. I managed to finish all 40 speeches for my DTM in 6 months. Now, I'm not sure if that's some kind of record, but I think that it might be. If we check the Toastmasters International archives, I think we'll need a Toastmasters historian to verify that. And Ryan, you're on the different path, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I do not have my Distinguished Toastmaster Award yet.
Right.
But it is on the horizon. I don't know exactly how far into the future. But I will share this, I'm going to say, slightly embarrassing tidbit.
Okay.
I received my Competent Communicator Award in November of 2004. And I received my Advanced Communicator Bronze just a few months ago, November 2012. So if you do the math, that's 8 years. 8 years for my first Competent Communicator to Advanced Communicator Bronze.
When did you start Toastmasters? How long did it take you to get the CC?
I think it...
You got to add that in.
Yeah, I don't have that data in front of me. I think...
So another 6 years?
I think my icebreaker speech may have been in 2002.
Okay.
Yeah, so early 2000s.
So we're looking at over 10 years to get you from when you started to where you are now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's good enough. Now, I don't have any statistics or any numbers on the average Toastmaster, what the average Toastmaster actually does to get to DTM. I'm sorry. I should say the average Toastmaster that actually does get their DTM.
Right.
Now, I do want to make one distinction, too. Getting a DTM is not the same as doing all 40 speeches because there are requirements. For example, I did all 40 speeches in 6 months. However, I had to wait. I had to serve as the area governor and do some other things, the leadership that was required for the Distinguished Toastmasters Award, which took me to just over a year to finish all that. So, but what we're talking basically is just about the speech part of it, doing the speeches.
Right.
What I started to say is I don't know the average, how many years it takes, on average, for the average Toastmasters. What would you say? I think you mentioned 3 years sounds, but that sounds respectable.
Oh, yeah, right? I was just referring to a member in our district before we started recording who is finishing up his DTM, and it's taken him about, it's going to be just about 3 years, which I think is fantastic, admirable.
Yeah, certainly.
You know, and that's all the requirements, not just the 40 speeches, but all the leadership requirements as well. So, yeah. Right. Now, in terms of statistics, I cannot say that this is definitely accurate, but I've heard it said numerous times that less than 1% of all Toastmasters ever receive the Distinguished Toastmaster Award.
That makes sense. Yeah. And I think you could figure that just up by pure numbers.
Right.
All you need to know is how many Toastmasters there are versus how many actually have their DTM, and you get some rough data from that.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what we're going to be talking about today is the two different tracks, the advantages, the pros and cons of both. I'll share a little bit of my story. Ryan will share a little bit of his. I think we are both very happy Toastmasters, right? We're happy with the progress we have made and what we've done and our improvements. So
some of us may be more so than others.
Well, I guess we'll get to that as well. Okay. So, all right. Anything else we need to say before kicking this off?
Well, just to clarify, when we say the two different tracks, we're not talking the communication track and the leadership track. We're talking the
tortoise and the hare. Right. And whatever the speech is. Right. Good point. Okay, that is a lot. 40 speeches in 6 months. The first thing you have to realize is you cannot realistically do this with one club. Mm-hmm. That is, I don't know if it's impossible, depending on how many times the club meets, and it's incredibly difficult.
Right.
I was a member of five different clubs, an active member of five different clubs. I know that's, I've spoken with many people who are members of many more clubs than five, but I was an active member of five clubs, meaning I was going, they each met weekly, except for one, which meets monthly, and I'm still a member of. But the clubs I went to basically four times a week.
Mm.
So that gave me plenty of opportunities, of speaking opportunities.
Right.
So that was one of the first things that made this possible. A second point is the speech material. One of the most difficult parts about giving a speech, any Toastmaster would know, is like, what am I going to talk about?
Mm.
What am I going to talk about?
And then once you have the idea, actually writing the speech,
making it a speech. It, yeah. Right. There's a lot of work involved there. I started this, I joined Toastmasters, I've told this story before, many people do know this, as a way to promote my book. And not within Toastmasters, but as a way, I was doing radio interviews at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking at Barnes & Noble, you know, right. little book groups in order to promote my book. And I was terrified of public speaking, and I needed some serious help. So I had the motivation.
Mm-hmm.
The motivation was there, because without it, I was a total failure at speaking just on the radio, not even in front of people, but on the radio. I was so nervous. So I had to get that done. So I had the book, Year to Success, which had about 320 different articles in there,
mm-hmm.
chapters, different topics. Each one of those was a speech in itself. I could easily turn it into a speech, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions from our listener was, did he repeat any of the speeches? Were any duplicates? And the answer was no. All of them were unique speeches just taken from my book. And because I wrote all the chapters, it's like I already wrote the speeches. Of course, I had to massage them a little bit and turn them from a chapter in a book into a speech.
Right.
So there was some work involved, but nowhere near as much work as actually coming up with a topic.
Right.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, about coming up with speech ideas?
How do I feel about it?
Is that a problem for you? Is that one of the reasons why you don't give as many speeches?
I know it was for my first CC. I think there was this, I've got 10 speeches to give, and and you feel like each one should be kind of like a polished gem, or at least that's how I felt.
Right.
And so I wanted to commit to something that I felt really strong and passionate about, as opposed to, well, I could talk about this. I've since revised my opinion on that. It doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all. I have done a second CC since the first one, and was much less concerned about, you know, making sure every idea was the most perfect message I needed to deliver. So, although I will say with the advanced manuals, it's actually even more challenging sometimes. Even I got frustrated with the interpretive reading manual as I was trying to find certain selections that would fit the requirements, and on a couple of them, I remember I spent literally like a couple of hours searching the internet trying to find something that I thought would work. And I thought, geez, I thought this was going to be easy, but it's been I'm just trying to find a stupid selection to do. So, anyway, I wanted to ask you, though, Bo, about this question from our listener in terms of, did you repeat any of the speeches? I don't know if Toastmasters has an official policy on this, but I know that I've heard members say and even suggest to me, well, why don't you just do that speech again, referring to one I've already given. And for example, you know, try to work on body movement this time you give it, and you can get credit for the Your Body Speaks speech, you know. To me, I've always felt like that's a little bit, even if it
cutting
is
a corner.
Illegal, yeah, kind of like, am I really getting the benefit of that project? I'm not really writing something new. I'm just practicing delivering it a different way.
That's a good question, and I don't think you're supposed to do that. I think the speeches have to be original. They have to be different.
Right.
You can't use the same. You can't get credit for the same speech.
Right. Oh, but it's not the same speech. This time I worked on the body movement.
This time I'm raising my hand at this part.
Yeah.
So it isn't exactly the same.
Right.
Yeah. That is a good point. I don't think you could do that.
Yeah.
Cheating.
Right.
One thing I also want to point out is one of the problems I had with doing this is being kind of a drag on the club. I didn't want to be a hog, basically,
taking
all the speaking slots. Fortunately, the clubs that I joined were some of them were established, but some of them were fairly new, or some of them just had a few members. They weren't that active. So they were pretty happy that I was giving speeches basically once a week or whenever, or as often as I was giving them. So they were pretty happy with that. But what I made sure that I did is I also took a Toastmasters or General Evaluator slot like the following week.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't give speeches every week.
Right.
Because if you can't give four speeches a week, and if you do the math, I'd be done in 10 weeks instead of 6 months. So I made sure that every time I took a speaking slot, the next meeting I would take a Toastmaster or the General Evaluator slot.
Right.
The big roles that people really need help with, that people kind of look to everybody when it's time to sign up for one of those roles.
Right.
So I felt like I was being a good, productive member of the group.
Right.
Not just a hog. Not just gimme, gimme, gimme. Sure. You know, I was also giving a little bit. So that made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, for my part, the three of these past 8 years, I've belonged to the same club you belong to, Bo, which is an advanced club that meets only once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months back, I guess it was maybe in November of 2012, I joined another local club that meets twice a month because I felt, basically when my wife and I had our daughter, that's when I pulled back from a local club that I belonged to and stuck with just the once a month club, back on my Toastmasters a bit. So now that she's a little bit older, I thought, all right, it's time to get some more Toastmasters in because I haven't given a speech in a long time. And with our club meeting once a month, you don't want to be a hog there either.
Right.
So I now belong to this other club that meets twice a month. But even then, I've given, I think, two or three speeches since I joined in November. And even though some of the meetings there's been like no speaker, it's been kind of like, well, I've got this speech in my back pocket. I was going to give it next time, but I guess I'll do it today.
Yeah.
you do feel a little like, you know, taking like, oh, here he goes again, giving another speech.
No one's going to take it.
Of course. Yeah. No one's going to take it. Yeah.
Right. But you mentioned something earlier that I think is important too, about the quality of the speeches. And I think that is a question that most people will have. Can you manage to get 40 speeches done in 6 months and still have them be quality speeches? Well, of course, quality speeches is subjective. What is quality to one person may not be to another. I would think the quality of the material of my speeches are fantastic because I spent so long writing the book, you know, a year beforehand doing that. And I think the presentation, I certainly did focus on the different concepts for each speech. For example, the speech where you're not supposed to use notes, I made sure I didn't do that.
Right.
For the speech where I was supposed to incorporate body language, I made sure I did that. So I certainly followed everything. And it's one of those things where Can it be better? Of course it could be better. I think everybody has that question in their mind. You know, I want to do the best speech possible. So if I put 100 hours into it, will it be, is that my best? Mm-hmm. Well, it may be incredibly good, but I'm of the mindset where, yes, if I put 100 hours into a speech, I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Of course, unless I choke because I'm so nervous because I put so much time, invested so much time in it.
Right.
But if I put, let's say, 3 hours into the speech, it might be 98% instead of 100%.
Mm.
And sometimes good enough is good enough.
Right.
And I was perfectly fine with that. So not that certainly I wasn't going through the motion, but the level of the quality that I think that I could get, like where I reached that point of diminishing returns,
mm-hmm.
where I could just put so much effort into it, and then every bit of additional effort will give me minimal return.
Right.
So that's the point where I say, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
For that.
Something I've seen some other Toastmasters do, and again, I don't want to make it seem like I'm judging other people's path.
You know, right.
my path certainly isn't one to brag about, but I've seen people about to give a presentation or maybe a short talk at a district event, and then scrambling in their backpack to pull out a manual. And I could call it this project,
yeah.
whether it be a CC project or an advanced manual project. And it seems clear that they haven't actually read the entire assignment and didn't prepare the assignment with that project in mind.
Right.
And although I've had opportunities when I could have done something like that, I just felt, I don't know, again, that it's sort of cutting a corner and I want to get that full benefit.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say in 8 years I couldn't have find, you know, there weren't opportunities where I could have taken the bull by the horns and done it. But
right.
it's just those sort of things that sometimes can make it easier. I just said, no thanks. I want to.
And that's one of the cases where some of the times I said, yeah, this is good enough.
Uh-huh.
Because the articles were already written.
Right.
So I was one of those people who had to kind of fit it in to one of the Toastmasters assignments. And it, like a crappy puzzle, it wasn't a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very rarely was there a perfect fit because I wasn't writing the speech specifically for the assignment.
Right.
I was taking a choice, though, of 320 different possible speeches and matching them up with the best Toastmasters project. So it, in my opinion, it was a good enough, but could it have been better? Yes.
Right.
I think so.
Right.
I think so. One thing I do want to mention also, people are saying, how the heck could you possibly join four clubs and devote this much time? Well, I was in the fortunate position to have that luxury, to be able to take 6 months off from my professional career and just focus on that, because my professional career at the time was promoting the book. I mean, that was it.
Right.
And I felt one of the best ways I could promote the book is to have this confidence in the speaking ability that I felt Toastmasters would give me, which I believe it did, in order to promote the book. So it was an investment that I had the fortune of being able to make, and I did.
Right.
So it was, I wasn't doing anything else. You know, at the time, I had two very young children who were in school or daycare, whatever, not daycare, but kindergarten. What do you call that?
Preschool.
Preschool.
Right.
That's what I was thinking. You know, with a wonderful wife who works at home as well. So everything was in place for me to make that happen and to allow me to devote that time. And I know that is that's just a luxury that very few people can afford, time-wise, with things. So things fell into place. So that was something that really does need to be in place if anybody is looking to go on this fast track.
Right. I think sort of looking at your experience, one of the biggest things, biggest advantages is just that regular, consistent practice of getting up there and speaking. I think sometimes...
Momentum,
yeah. Sometimes you can see when you're spacing your speeches out so long. I mean, I wasn't typically getting extremely nervous to present in front of the club. But for some members, they'll have these big gaps, and then it's like you got to get up your courage again to get in front, and it's this like big thing.
Right.
But when you are speaking more regularly, it's kind of just not as big a deal.
Exactly.
To get up there and do it, and you're getting that practice. The things that didn't go so well last month, you're remembering that and really being intentional about focusing on trying to improve those. So
exactly it. I was able to use the feedback that I got from my previous speeches and incorporate it, and everything was still fresh in my mind.
I
don't think I was ever going more than a week without giving a speech, usually like two speeches in a week, something like that.
Right.
So it did work well. The momentum is certainly something that you could capitalize on, and it worked well for me.
Right.
I wanted to make sure, too, that I gave credit to the clubs. I made sure that all the credit I got for the speeches went to the clubs evenly. That was important. Being a member of five clubs, I didn't want to just give it all to one club.
Right.
And the clubs like that, too. So that was another plus that the clubs have by having me join.
Right.
So they're going to get a lot of credit towards the Achievement
the
Awards
Club program. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Right. Any other comments on the tortoise track?
I would say that the tortoise track, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. It truly is astounding to me when I look back and say, wow, I've been involved with Toastmasters for this long, and that's all I've achieved in terms of the educational awards.
Hmm.
On the other hand, I've served as area governor. I've never been one of those people who does like, ooh, this is I got this speech to give today. It's not really a manual speech, so you could just like write some comments on a slip of paper for me. That's always been, I'm doing a speech, it's a manual speech, unless it's something like the Successful Club Series or, one of those modules where there's not, credit in a manual for it.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend taking this long. On the other hand, I can't say that I feel bad about it. I feel like I've done every assignment with integrity, and I've studied, what's being asked for us to work on and put that effort into each speech. I do think I could have benefited much more if it was done in a more compressed time frame with more regularity.
Right. Well, overall, I wouldn't recommend my strategy either. I wouldn't recommend the 6 months. I mean, that was crazy. It was crazy. It was something that I felt had to be done. And I think that I certainly enjoyed, I'm still a Toastmaster to this day, obviously. It's been about 10 years as well. And I've enjoyed giving speeches at my own pace between that time because I just enjoy doing that. I enjoy taking the time and without the pressure.
Right.
No longer does this elusive DTM title motivate me to try to do more, because I already have it. So now it's just a matter of giving speeches just for the pure enjoyment of it. So I think that if it of course, you have to match up your style with your available time and taking all those things into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're going to get a better job if you have DTM after your name. I don't know, you might, especially if the boss is a Toastmaster and he finds that impressive. But right. For the most part, it's not something that the title itself isn't going to make your career advance. It's all the work that you do in order to get the title.
And the growth that comes with
exactly.
It. You might get another job because you have a DTM next to your title because you've become an extremely effective communicator.
Right.
Right. But right. It's not the three letters alone.
Right.
Yeah.
So I certainly think my advice to our listeners is to look at 2 to 3 years.
Mm.
Like if you're starting and you're pacing yourself and you don't want to let things fall because you do want to capitalize on the momentum. You do want to keep things interesting, but you don't want to push yourself so far where you just quit and say, forget it, this is too difficult. You want to have a good pace and do what matches your style.
Right. Yeah, I think both of us are sort of polar opposites, different extremes, and our path is maybe not the best or suitable for most people, but somewhere in the middle
is right.
Probably where the majority of listeners would find themselves if they're in pursuit of the DTM, the elusive DTM, as you
right.
called it.
Yeah.
So, which really isn't that elusive if you do the work.
That's right. Many Toastmasters have the DTM title. So.
Right.
Okay, well, I hope everybody has enjoyed this podcast. It's rare that Ryan and I get to sit back and chat about a topic like this, but I certainly enjoy it, the opportunity.
And thank you so much to our listener for the great topic suggestion.
It got our wheels turning. It sure did. Okay, well, thank you very much, and we look forward to joining you next time on the Toastmasters podcast. Take care, everybody. Bye. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.